Come on, bitch, let's go. Come on, get ready, bitches.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
Ryan, I'm going to call him the King Ryan. The King Ryan Bailey of So Bad It's Good.
Is what? Is coming?
Is coming, but I want some music like dun 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 dun. And I just want to say that we are co-hosting a special episode on both of our pods.
Crossover special.
A crossover special, yes.
Yes, he's so regal, yes, Ryan. Yes. You're very regal.
I just came in on horseback from the great state of Buga de Beppo, and I am ready to podcast with Dana Wilkie.
Oh, my God. I have no idea. You're like Dorit. We have no idea what country you come from.
Hello, Dorit. Beep, boop, 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 boop. I always say she sounds like she sounds like C-3PO from Star Wars, because she's always like Master Luke, Master Luke. No, you know, it's very hyper.
This time you have gone too far. I see your point, sir.
Totally. I love it. Well, I know that very few people are going to actually be able to afford the Peacock membership to watch, the weekend show with the girls when that finally comes out. But more importantly, given
you
the
mean
fact-
Ultimate Girls Trip.
Yeah, I always forget that one. Yeah. Yeah. So I know nobody's actually going to probably be able to afford it. So I thought today, since Paris Hilton got married yesterday, we could talk about Paris and Love episode one.
I would love to, actually. It was so, I had like an out of body experience watching it. I thought I was having a stroke at certain points. Like, this, who is this guy? Who is this Rustem guy that she's met? Like, who is this? It was very like Paris, like I'm used to, but this guy I was not used to. And that was like the big surprise for me.
Well, his name is Carter Riem.
Oh, Riem. I'm like Rustem.
Yeah. No, listen, who are you telling? I mean, geez, I don't even know my own name half the time. So
Dana Wilkie.
Okay. Thanks. Well, I actually did a little bit like a, not a deep dive, but like a surface dive, we'll call it. And he actually is quite established and from a super wealthy family. So all that, so you guys, just to say it to you, the show opens up and you meet Carter Riem, Paris Hilton's fiance at the time of the show shooting and now current husband. And he is kind of like humble, would you say, Ryan?
I guess humble. I mean, if that's the word, that's a very kind word. I just thought he was like, I don't know, it was like affected or something. Like he said he grew up in a small town, but then at the same time, he's like completely wealthy and has his own thing going. So to me, he's like an enigma wrapped in a riddle. I'm like, I honestly was trying to figure out the whole thing. Did it not like kind of, I mean, to me, I guess you're used to, it boggled me. I was like, how the heck is this working?
Well, I heard that she met him with Joe Francis.
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now it makes sense. Never mind.
So yeah. So I kind of like, this is going back, you know, a lot of years, and this guy obviously partied at some point in his, allegedly partied at some point. Definitely.
we all allegedly partied at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I was laughing because his dad owned, I guess he was the head of Amstead Industries, which was ranked one of United States' largest private companies by Forbes magazine.
Wow.
So, yeah. So you got to imagine that this is like a train company. Like, these are kind of blue blood Rothschild, obviously, kind of he's that from that, like big bucks.
I mean, but Dana, it seems like he spends most of those big bucks in the first episode. He's going to be poor by the end of this series.
Well, I know. I was, well, that's what made me look, because I said to myself, okay, the guy, so you guys know, you know, the guy runs a venture capital company called M13, which has some pretty serious, you know, disruptors in his portfolio. I'll take you through some of them just to educate everybody. But like they do Lyft, for example. You've heard of Lyft, oh, right?
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of
yeah.
Lyft.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They've done FabFitFun.
Yes.
You know that ad? They always trying to sell you clothes. They've done Lightning Labs. Let's see if I could find another good one. Ring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they should probably get that over to every Real Housewives of Beverly Hills house at this point.
Kyle needed that years ago. Yeah.
There's a few of them that need it. Okay. And let's see what else we got in here. Emerge, which is another one. Doorstead. Anyway, there's like 30 companies that the company that I guess he must have founded, it has invested in. So there's some big boys in this. So he's definitely, you know, from a super loaded family. And his sister is married to an Annenberg. Yeah, that's an old, like, I want to say like LA family, because the USC building for communication is called Annenberg after them.
Yeah, I always see Annenberg buildings in Los Angeles at various places.
Yeah, I have some gossip about them, but I'm going to put that on the like that really that can't go on iHeartRadio
about the Annenbergs. So okay,
we're going to table that for the Patreon. Yeah. Anyway. So it's obvious to me that this guy is a rich, you know, super wealthy kid who obviously was, you know, hanging around at the party scene and has met her, you know, also, you know, through all, I don't know, that's all I can say on that. So what did you think of him?
I gotta tell you, Daniel, like I said, like he kind of weirded me out in the sense that I didn't. Like when I put it into the aspect of he reminds me then of like, and she says this in the first episode of Rick Hilton, of her dad, because I was like, this just doesn't seem look wise who I would think she would be with. It didn't seem personality wise who she would be with. He seems like a cool, I mean, a good enough guy, but it was also the celebrating of the monthversaries. Like they celebrate their month anniversary every month. And the guy's more into it than Paris is. And he's like giving her jewels and dresses to pick out. And I'm just like, I mean, first off, if this is real, he's making every other guy look bad. But secondly, I was just like, man, slow down a little bit. Like you're going to burn yourself out with romance. I don't know. Like I just, there was something so weird and you could tell he was not used to reality shows, but he was giving it his all. So he was like game to play around. But some of those scenes where like they're walking on the beach with their bikes were so clunky to me, you know?
Yeah. Well, what was weird is I used to live on Big Rock Beach. So literally they shot like every scene of Paris and him on the beach, except at the private island, like in front of my old house. And I was like, that's so weird. And like that beach is all right, but it's not, you know, it's not carbon. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, totally. Like, I was like, I don't know. I know what they're going for, but not Big Rock Beach. Okay. So, well, they start off the show and they go to, this private island and, Paris announces that she's so glad she waited because, this is now her third engagement. And like her last, you know, the first one was she's too young. The second guy was a douche. The third guy is him. And she's glad he's waited because now it might last. And they fly to this private island. And Ryan, I want to ask you when he said to her and he gets on one knee, and he says, you know, you'll be here for the good days and the bad days. And he whips out that rock.
I'll be there for the good days and the bad days. My God. Like, you know, I don't understand. I mean, is this the dream guy for you? Like, what would you do in this situation, Dana?
Well, I mean, I wasn't sure if the island was her diamond at that point. It was so big. I was like, what? Now, Paris, it's alleged, has bought big diamonds or have been gifted big diamonds. I don't know, bought or gifted, but the men in her life have not given her the diamonds. However, in this case, this guy might have pulled it because of his M13, right? But this rock, oh my God. It was like, I want to say 12 carats.
Well, as somebody that's never really, I mean, I've never bought a diamond ring for more than like, I'm embarrassed to even say, but like the thing, I mean, didn't he also give her that like huge diamond necklace when they went to San Francisco to have the up top like dinner, like, and Kathy Hilton was there and Kathy was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know? And I mean, how many diamonds is he giving her? That's what I'm saying. He's going to be out of money like relatively soon if he keeps doing this.
Well, I think this guy's got to be real like loaded. I mean, but did you see what, you know, was my, was a funny part was Kathy Hilton getting pissed at Paris because she bought him a Hermes tray and he put like a bunch of like salt shakers and like, or like the staff put like candles and salt shakers and shit all over it. And she's like, you know, that's Hermes. And like Kathy obviously like isn't as rich as this guy because
she was like that was meant for his office. And Paris was like, no, he loves it, he just he just wanted to put it in the kitchen here at my, like, it was like she was trying to like make excuses for him, but it was, I mean, it was hysterical, but at the same time that's kind of what it, I think, even impresses Kathy of like, damn, like this guy this guy is the real deal, you know.
Totally. It was so funny too, because Paris kept trying to find a new place for the tray that Kathy would be okay with. And it was like every place Paris picked was like, you know, in the corner in the kitchen or whatever. Like Kathy's like, I'll just take it back. Just take the tray back. Oh my God. It was hilarious.
Did you, the other thing is like, so I was noticing, did you notice how Paris's voice went in and out of the new deep voice Paris and then the baby doll Paris, like she was going in and out, like she couldn't even decide which one she wanted to do.
That actually severely freaked me out because it was so, it was like a wacky person. Like it really comes off now as like she's disjointed. Like there's this voice she can't control that like she, that takes over like a personality. Like there's two people in Paris.
Oh my God. This is like a Marvel superhero movie. It's like a kind villain of like, or something. Yeah.
It is. And then one comes out and she's like disconnected, completely pretentious and like, you know, cutesy with that baby voice. And then there's the deep, serious, I've got a heart. I can,
I want to get married. I want it to be Paris.
Sorry.
But the other thing, like, okay, so like watching Beverly Hills this season, like I got this theory that Kathy Hilton, and it's not a theory, I think this is exactly what it is. Like, you know, she's like, she was friends with Michael Jackson and speaks of him so highly of like, Miss Kathy. And like, they had like adventures together. And like, I think Kathy Hilton is like deep down, she is it's Arrested Development. She's like a 10-year-old still. And Paris Hilton is the exact same way, but Paris Hilton is now being forced to kind of grow up. But I think the Hiltons, except for Nikki, have this kind of Arrested Development where they're still these like kind of little girls in a way. And you see it with Kathy doesn't even know how to open a wine bottle. And I it really makes sense the more you watch now Kathy with Paris, how it all, I don't know, like to me that really sticks out of Paris saying things like, you know, like he promised me the moon and I believe he'll get it for me. You know, like she really does. She wants this fairy tale romance and she's with somebody rich enough that can actually give her that. And it's like a movie, you know?
Well, I definitely think that to give you guys some background, the way the show is shot in the same way as the very upsetting documentary, This Is Paris. I think actually it was the same producer, because even when they were interviewing her, it was the same voice, like of the woman who was asking her questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it's the same. Somebody is related to both projects that's involved. But it has that documentary feel rather than a reality show, wouldn't you say?
It does. Well, it does and it doesn't to me. Like I did think there was some really poorly acted reality show moments between, you know, him and her where it felt very like set up, you know, like I love the peek behind the curtain, but I definitely didn't feel like, I don't know, like to me, it didn't feel documentary. To me, it was still like kind of bits. And I feel like we're going to continue to get bits in the show. Like I bet she's going to take dance classes for her wedding or something. And it's, I don't know, like to me, it kind of walked that line for me personally.
Yeah, I think they were trying to make it like a documentary, but like you're commenting, it didn't do it. Like
Yeah, they're so used to being their reality show characters that they fully can't let that guard down, you know?
Yes, yes. And you could see she's struggling with that. And
yes, yeah.
You can tell she's struggling with that. When they were getting ready for the Tribeca Film Festival for her movie This Is Paris to premiere, you know, and they were having that awkward discussion on the couch, and he was like telling everybody about their first date, and he said, you know, you should tell me who the real Paris is so I could really know you. Now, this is him, by the way, after 18 years or something. Yeah. So like, I want you to imagine this guy's been partying with Paris on and off for 18 years. And he still doesn't know who the fuck she is.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Cause you guys, he sits down with her at her place and supposedly he was like, I want to know the real Paris. And she goes, ha. And she went and grabbed a bottle of rosé and came back and like drank the whole bottle. And like, I guess they had a heart to heart, you know?
Yeah. And he was like really proud of the fact that she drank the whole bottle of rosé and she was embarrassed by it. Like it wasn't on brand. So she was.
No, like, I mean, I don't know. Like I got to tell you, like, I was like, at first when I didn't know what he did, I was like, I thought he was kind of an average guy. And I was like, wow, Paris is dating like average dudes now. And then I found out he was extremely wealthy. And I was like, well, there goes that theory. Cause I was like, maybe someday I could date a Paris Hilton type. And then I was like, nope, I'm total middle class, you know?
Yeah, no, she's always been with guys that are ballers. Just, you know, they're just like, but most of them are morally corrupt because that's the truth. Most of them are.
That's what I was
thinking
about. Remember, I was thinking back all the way. Now we're coming probably up on, I don't know, the 20th anniversary or something of the Rick Solomon sex tape.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, just what a journey. If you think about the kind of little girl in that to what she is now, it's like, man, what a journey.
Well, and Rick was always in the scene. I mean, you know, I everyone calls him a producer, but he was pretty much, you know, allegedly, we'll just say that, LA's drug dealer. But
I'm going to say allegedly as well. Double allegedly on that. That's a double allegedly. It's a triple allegedly.
Yeah, yeah. That triple allegedly. I'll remember when I got the door. Anyway, but yeah. So Rick, Rick was around a bunch of people and he was friends with people that dated Paris. Paris dated we dated some people in common, her and I, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you did. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You ran in this kind of like similar crowd and it's like, I feel like I want a 10-part HBO Max documentary on you guys growing up at a certain period of time and going out and all of that stuff. It seems like rife with like that whole Paris Hilton time. Like I want a full HBO documentary, you know?
Well, Paris and Nikki actually used to party together. They would always be at every event. Like there was always like the same 10 parties everybody went to. And so like I remember going on the shuttle buses and it was always like Nikki and Paris. We always ended up being on like the same shuttle for some reason going to a party. And it was always like Nikki and Paris together. So like they truly were best friends. Like that part, that whole thing that where they were talking and they were like, let's do everything together. And you're my sounding board and you're honest. And that's true. Like she was always by Paris's side. And I do believe they're like best friends, like really.
No, I totally believe that. And you see that relationship, you do like that. Like, I believe all of their relationships. I don't, but it just sometimes there's a clunkiness in like in terms of reality shows that people like us know by watching so many and know how these work now is that yeah. You can tell like the setup on this one is you need to say that you're not good at organization and you need to pick a date for the wedding, you know?
Well, didn't you think some of her comments were weird? Like, I don't know if they were intentional, but like she said, I have to get married now.
Yes. Yeah. And, yeah. 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 And then the babies have to come soon, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It was almost like she was like, I have no choice. I have a gun to my head. I have to get married. And that was kind of weird for me. I was like, I'm not sure that's still the right reason to get married. It's like, and then she comes back later and she says, well, I was willing to do it alone. I was willing to have kids, you know, by myself because I've been hurt by so many guys. Yeah. So, I mean, it was confusing. You're right. And when she got the necklace, oh my God. So talk about the San Francisco trip. Go ahead.
Well, the San Francisco trip, you guys, is that it was for one of their month anniversaries. I think it was like their 20 month anniversary or something. So 20 months and they celebrate it every month. And he did a surprise where, you know, it was like a delivered of like, you need to be ready by this time and you're going to pick from these outfits and then you're going to go on this private jet. And they end up going to San Francisco and they're at the top of this really fancy hotel. And, you know, the one of the hotels where they had like a secret passageway. So Marilyn Monroe could like hook up with JFK. And then they eat where they can see like the entirety of San Francisco. He's given her a beautiful diamond necklace. It is just banger after banger in terms of romance. And I don't know, like, it's like something that I will never experience in my life. And I was just kind of astounded. That's why I just kept adding money up in my head of like, man, you're only 20 months into this and you have to top this now next month, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, it's a little too much. Like this, even if it was real, like it was almost too much. Like she gets this letter. Can I just be truthful?
Yeah. No, lie to us.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay. If I walked in and I had a letter, okay, that was really romantic, and then like $1 million necklace on the bed with the letter, yeah, and then three outfits that are like 20 grand each on a rack for me to choose to then be surprised and like get in a limo and fly in a private jet to a place I don't know with a guy. And he takes me to San Francisco and I end up at, I think it was the Fairmont Hotel. And I end up having this romantic dinner. I'm almost like, you're kissing my ass too much.
Yeah. It's like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, it's overkill. Like, dude, slow down. You got the rest of your lives together. Like, slow it down. Like, maybe throw some Old Navy outfits in there or something. Like, I'm literally ruined. Like, you can just go in a Toyota Corolla. You don't need a private jet. Like, have a road trip. Like, literally act like us poor people and like try to do that, you know? Like, try to act like me for a week and see what it's like. I mean, you probably, I don't know, just, that was another part that weirded me out, was that I was like, eventually, like, it made me sad for the day that he doesn't want to do that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it. Totally.
Like, and 10 years in, is he still going to be doing these monthversaries?
Yeah. And it was hard for me as I don't want to be tainted. Okay. But it was a little too much inspiration. You know, when something's a little too inspirational and you're like, you know what? This actually makes me depressed. I want to turn this off.
Well, I mean, there is an element of that. Like, okay, we get it. Everything is perfect. Like, we get it, man. Like, everything.
You have no problems.
I mean, there is literally no, guys, there is no problems in this. The problem is she's scared to pick a date for the wedding. Like, that's the big problem in one of the episodes. And it's like, man, I'll pick a date immediately. Like, I'll solve that problem for you immediately. So these are the kind of problems you're dealing with. So if you're into that, but it's great in that pure escapism form of TV, but that's what I'm saying. It's like so not real. Or, I mean, it is aspirational in a way that Real Housewives is not anymore. Do you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, that, like, yeah, totally.
Like, I don't have to worry that Paris is like stealing from somebody. I don't think, you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. It is. I thought of that too. I said, this is like the opposite spectrum where you kind of just, everything's happy and positive. And the biggest problem you have is, like you said, picking a date, organization ability, like just dumb stuff. And like, that's very freeing. But for me, it was very depressing and I was sad and I started to cry at the end of it.
There should be subtitles on that. If you go, guys, we get it. Don't be sad. It's okay. Episode 3, something happens bad. You know, they should.
Yeah, I needed that. I needed like some like promise that something like her life isn't this good because I've really missed something. Like I've missed a boat in some major way. And that's what I realized. I'm like, wow, I took nothing away from this, but my life is shit. I missed the boat.
And the thing that's so interesting. So this premiered, was it yesterday? Time doesn't mean anything anymore, but I think it premiered on Thursday. And that's also the day when she got married, 11/11. And so we already know how it went because we're already seeing all these photos of the wedding and how perfect it was. And for a minute I was like, why did they do a Thursday wedding? But I guess it's because she loves 11/11, which is just like, when you're that rich that you can do things like that, where you're like, I'll do a Thursday wedding, I don't care. And have you heard anything about this dream wedding? I'm seeing pictures and each one looks insane. Paula Abdul was like singing for some reason.
I actually don't. I heard that it was in the backyard of her family estate, right?
Yeah, but the family estate is like the whole state of California. It's huge.
So I let me go look at the pictures because I heard it wasn't that great. Let me go look.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, did it
I
not
mean, maybe
to-
my friend, I'm hearing this from some of my richer friends.
So. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it got horrible reviews on Yelp.
Okay, let's see. Paris Hilton wedding. Okay, I know that Yves Saint Laurent made all of her dresses because they covered that on the show.
I thought Dorit was going to loan a wedding dress, you know, like the actress or the, remember she had all those wedding dresses?
Wait, Dorit from Real Housewives?
Yeah, I was, that's a joke.
Yeah, that never would happen. Yeah, no. I was like, nope. I almost like, it almost went dead quiet there for a minute.
I know, you got scared. I was like, no, it's a joke.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Okay, let me see. Oh, the inside looks fabulous. So I see that there's like candles and white roses everywhere. And she's, and it's like all gold and white. Let's see. There's not a lot of pictures of the wedding.
Well, I saw on somebody's Instagram account, I saw so many pictures of, and it was like, I was like, wow, maybe it was Bravo Bone Collector or something. Yeah, I think it was Bravo Bone Collector had a lot of pictures in her stories. And I was just like kind of blown away by the opulence.
Wow. Okay. I'm like upset. I like missed out on all of this. Okay. So tell me about it. Like what blew you away about the photos?
Okay. So the photos one, actually, yeah. Bravo Bone Collector has it. I'm looking at them right now. The groom is bawling. The groom like has a tissue out bawling. He looks like he's like uncontrollably crying. We see Paula Abdul singing at the wedding and Kathy Hilton is up on stage. We see the wedding cake, which is just like seven layers. It just looks insane. We see Rick and Kathy and the Nikki and her husband. We see the bridesmaids. We see Kim. We see the wedding dress that she changed into to dance, which was a much shorter wedding dress. I guess these are all from Vogue magazine. Bravo Bone Collector took them from. And it looks, are you seeing them yet? It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm seeing, okay, yes. Her bridesmaids are wearing baby pink, different dresses. And Kathy's in a stunning silver and black gown. Actually, Kathy's gown is sick. It's so good. Wow.
And she looks like she has like a new, whoever did her face work for the wedding looks great too.
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking that her face looks like great.
Yeah, she got like some kind of like something happened. Something, yeah.
So yeah. How do I judge like that? That's so good. Okay. The cake has gold and white and is 1, 2, 3, 4. It's six layers. It has flowers all around it. And it looks like a little castle. There's probably a unicorn in there. It has like their, it's got like their names embroidered in the side of the cake. It looks like it's, you know, it's one of those cakes that's like, yeah. It looks embroidered, right? She's got her little short dress on.
She had four changes at the wedding, four dresses.
Yeah. She has a gold ceiling with like gold crystals and gold chandelier with the white. So it's like white and gold themed. Paula Abdul is singing with Kathy Hilton. Kathy Hilton looks like she's singing or talking. It'd be better if she was singing. And yeah, you're right. Four changes.
Kim Kardashian is with Nicole Richie. That looks cool. Tons of pictures of Kim from TMZ that Bravo Bone Collector put in here.
Didn't all the housewives go too? They were like so proud of themselves for being invited.
Well, I don't know. I saw Kyle, but I haven't seen any pictures of the rest of them. But I haven't been on their socials today.
That's how you know real friendships. Let me tell you, if none of them there, none of them are really friends of Kathy's.
I wonder. I mean, did Rinna get the invite? Did Erica Jane?
Well, Rinna's mom died, so she has an excuse.
Oh wait, did she officially pass away? I knew she was transitioning. I didn't know if she officially passed. That's horrible. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think she passed. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do we know if Erica Jane was there?
At the passing or the wedding?
At the wedding.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I'm here to pay my respects.
Listen, I mean, if your mom was dying, Ryan, I'd come over. I mean,
I mean, she'd be surprised to see you, seeing that she's not fully aware of you yet. She'd be like, who is this in my house? Like, no, I meant, did Erica Jane get the ticket to Paris Hilton's wedding? Like, I want to know, because
there's no way that she ever invited Erica Jane to that wedding.
I don't think so. Well, last night she posted that thing where she was like, it's time. And it was like her on stage again. And I was like, it is not time. But
Erica,
you know,
Jane, yeah, she's starting her music career over again.
That's what I said we're gonna get a season of her, like, you know, we already saw her and Garcelle being filmed working out. So we're like, I bet it's gonna be like
gotta get back in shape to tour. You know, I'm Erika Jayne.
That's my horrible Erika Jayne, you guys.
I love it. I love it. I can do Erika Jayne too.
What do you, how do you do it?
Or what? Or what?
Look at me. Look at my life. Look at me.
And Tom had everything. He was smart. He was great until he died off the back of the house. All right. So then we got, oh, look at the wedding invitations. Okay. So you guys, they have cursive wedding invitations. Beautiful. And they actually put, I think, people's names on them. Boy, that's hoity-toity. Right. Yeah. So Ryan, you come and you get like a menu with your name on it and like an invite with like custom invites with your name.
Dang.
Yeah. And Kathy Hilton brought Barbie dolls for the little girls to play with, the bridal shower girls.
Wow.
Yeah. So this was a great, really great wedding.
I wonder what the, you know, how you, at the weddings, you always get to take home something. And usually it's like a shot glass or something, you know, like, I wonder what they got to take home at their wedding. Like, I bet they got good gifts.
Well, I mean, based on the Hermes tray table, I'd say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What is Kathy Hilton's hang up with tray tables? Like, geez, I'm lady. TV trays. Wait, like,
was it Hermes at like when Kathy Hilton had everybody over at her place this season of Beverly Hills, and she had all the, was it all Hermes dining, or what was all the, she kept talking about all the silverware and all that stuff and the candle holders. Was that Hermes too?
Oh no, that was a different, that was something fancy. Yeah. And she will, I think that she got some dough for that, 'cause they said it too many times.
They really did. Like, they were hitting it over the head.
Yeah. I was like, this is some, it, like, maybe the producers asked them to say it because it was product placed. I don't know. Like, Bravo does so much production now that they didn't do in the old days. I wouldn't put it by them that they do that now. Make sure you say the name of the hotel or, you know, yeah, let's see. I was trying to see what a Hermes table goes for cost-wise. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things I really want to know in my life. It was a basket weave one. I don't even see an Hermes basket weave. Maybe that's why she said it was so hard to find, because like you can't find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever. Do you honeymoon if you're Paris Hilton and this guy? Because they've gone to every fancy place.
Oh my God, let's look that up. Oh yeah.
Well, but by the way, and I feel like it's like what I hear that the wedding is like Coachella. There's events all weekend.
What?
Yeah, like I hear that Thursday, but there's events Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well.
Wow, that sounds good.
Travis Scott's playing Saturday night, so I'm joking.
Oh, shut up. No. Oh my God, can we digress for a second?
Yeah.
I don't even actually know. That's probably not the right use of that word.
No, it sounded I think it is. Yeah.
I'm going to throw in a nice SAT word right now for Ryan. You had posted something on your feed. You know, I love your feed. I always repost your stuff.
Absolute trash, but I love it. Yes.
I repost your stuff all the time.
Thank you.
And so you had posted that Drake, after performing at Astroworld, went to a strip club in Houston and was allegedly partying with strippers.
And spent $1 million.
Yeah. And it was the night after Astroworld. So he did know about that.
Definitely knew, you know? I mean, the only thing I can think is that maybe he had a guarantee with the strip club and he was going to lose out that money if he didn't go and get lap dances. I mean, like, I don't know why you would ever in a million years even be in the mood to like have, I mean, we're, you know, Paris, it's funny, Paris Hilton, we're talking about opulence with that. This is strip club opulence that is like never in a million years. Like, why? I don't know. Like, I feel like it keeps looking worse and worse for everybody involved in this. You know, of course we have the victims, which is just the saddest thing ever, because you go to concerts, have the time of your life. And this was probably such a joyful event leading up to it for these people that passed away. But then you have this kind of negligence, even just in the way they handled these things. Then you get these kind of half-baked PR statements that we're so used to seeing. Like, all of us people that follow this stuff, we're so used to reading PR statements. It just seems, it comes off so heartless anymore. Like, we could write these PR statements in our sleep, you know?
Yeah, I'm really shocked. I mean, it just is so, it's very tone deaf to go to a strip club the day after.
We're talking hundreds were injured. 9 have died.
Okay, and 18, seriously, right? Because where's the number 18 coming from?
I mean, I believe so, but I'm not fully aware. I just know that it's been hundreds injured.
I know there's a little boy on his deathbed right now.
Yes, and yeah, a girl died yesterday. It was her first concert ever. Can you imagine? Just first concert. Wow.
Yeah.
And her parents said that Travis Scott's people nor Travis Scott ever even got in touch with them to check in on her, you know?
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was, I mean, who knows? You can never really believe everything you read in TMZ or anything like that, but that was put out there yesterday. I read and it kind of just made me really sad.
Well, I did a deep dive actually on Astroworld on my Patreon, and I went to all the different conspiracy theories and everything, like, you know, the fact that Lou Taylor's his manager and all this stuff. Like, yeah, I did it all.
That. Yeah. I mean, the only one I'm not down with is that I don't like the demonic stuff. I'm like, guys, this is just bad, but like, it's, I don't, to me, it's not satanic worship, you know?
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. The one you're talking about is the ritual in plain sight.
Yes.
The offering of people ritual in plain sight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 That one. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, really what it comes down to is it didn't age well. The concept of the devil face as you walk in and walk through the mouth and the stadium that is a giant portal. It's actually like was designed to be a portal with like hell all around it. And it didn't age well. Right. And well, like,
listen, I mean, listen, Stormy World has the same like weird Stormy face that you walk through, you know, like, I don't think Stormy World was like demonic worship, you know?
Well, we don't know yet, but
let's see how she grows up. Let's see.
We'll see how that goes.
Don't fuck with the Chuck.
But anyway, yeah, it was weird. It definitely was a lot of coincidences that were weird and a little bit like the start of definitely legends, right? Like that's how a legend starts, like a series of events that are just strange that seem loosely tied together in a way that like, you know, it gets legs. That's all, right? You know, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I have a feeling that's what's going to happen with Astroworld, unfortunately. How do you feel about the Kardashians, just really quick on that topic? Kourtney Kardashian, I guess, has not commented. And I know that she's not Kylie. I'm saying it from the perspective that I think a lot of fans expected Kourtney for some reason to comment, and they were upset that she didn't.
Well, I mean, listen, she's too busy dry humping Travis Barker to actually make a statement. But in all reality, I actually kind of appreciate that she didn't release a statement. Kourtney doesn't have direct involvement in this, and where she can be sad, but I do want to try to take steps back away from the Kardashians. Don't need to comment on everything unless they're directly involved. Now, do I believe Kendall should have commented a day earlier and deleted the photo of her party in the Astroworld? Yeah, I do. I think she should have hopped on that much earlier. But at the same time, like I said, like TMZ especially and Daily Mail a little bit were pushing stories immediately like Kylie Jenner is okay. Nobody gives an F if Kylie Jenner is okay. We assume she is. She's not with us plebeians. We assume that they're okay. You'll let us know if they're not. But for now, let's focus on the victims. I do not give a rip if they are okay. You know, like I don't care if she looked concerned.
Well, you know what?
Audience.
You know where
I don't care, you know?
You know where that came from though is that they had posted like birthday well wishes from Travis Scott. So where this happened was like they were showing Travis, like, oh, look at the beautiful flowers. She's, you know, sent Chris Kardashian for the birthday. So it was kind of like there was a tie like a second before, and then there was nothing from them.
Well, I said earlier this week, you know, with Kardashians, you know, in this situation, especially, you're either damned if you do, damned if you don't. And that's the cross they have to bear. And, you know, they get paid very well to bear that cross. But I think these kind of tragedies really shine a spotlight on how messed up this society is and celebrity culture is. And I love it. And I pay attention to it 24 hours a day. But even I, when these kind of situations happen, it shines a light, just kind of like Beverly Hills, where when criminal activity involving orphans and widows start getting involved, it kind of takes the fun away from it. It takes, you know, I want our housewives to lie and cheat, but do I want them to steal from like actual people and orphans and widows? No. I mean, they can steal from each other, but like it shines a spotlight and it kind of gives you this gross feeling of like, ah, oh, man, I don't know. Like, so for me, I think they're in a no-win situation in this particular thing, because all of a sudden, like, even Chloe was starting to post like selfies again. And I was just like silently cursing her under my breath. Like, cause I was just like, man, like, just take off a week, like, go get all your face surgery and body surgery. Like, all the Kardashians need to all get their surgeries right now, heal over the next 2 months, and let us heal, and then come back strong in 2022, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that they should have posted something right away. And then I think they all should have. That's just my opinion.
Even Food Gob?
Who's Food Gob?
Jonathan Cheban. Are you kidding me? Kim's big butt kissing friend. You know Jonathan.
No, I don't. I mean, he's not like a real character. He's some guy.
Look up Food God. I swear to God.
All right, let me look up Food God.
He has the really weird looking face.
Yeah, he has a little bit of a droopy eye.
He's not. He's on a. He's like her friend. She talks to. He's like the Dana Wilkie of that show.
I'm telling, but I'm saying even he like reposted Kim's apology and his stories. And it's like, I was like, man, we don't need to know. Like, we don't, you know, like, I don't need your approval on this. You know, like, you're not a part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I just would have liked to have seen initially everybody just say something, our prayer, like very simple, no like BS, just our prayers are with the family and we're going to support the investigation in whatever way we can. Or, you know, if they can't say that, then just we support the families in this really difficult time, and left it at that and stayed off social media for like a long time.
But maybe, like, that's the sacrifice of being that rich and famous, you know, is you're going, like, I mean, when tragedies like this happen, you're going to be hated in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, I think it was bad timing. If they hadn't just like put the Travis Scott gift to Chris for her birthday up on social media, it probably wouldn't have had the big, you know, backlash that it had, because it was kind of like, in this instance, you promote the crap out of him. But in this one, you don't. You're like, you don't know him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, you know, people sense that contradiction, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, well, what else is going on in the landscape? Anything else got you going?
I mean, everything kind of gets me going.
Oh, Sex in the City. Sex in the City?
Listen, I'm one of those people that I'm kind of like, hell yeah, let's try it out. Like, I'm not, like, I'm going to miss Kim Cattrall, of course. Like, of course I'm going to miss her. Of course we're all going to miss her. And I'm going to crack up if the way they write her out is she got hit by a bus or something, you know? Like, I'm curious how they're going to explain it. Like, did she die from COVID or something? Do we know?
No, probably cancer. Didn't she have cancer?
She did, yeah, but she beat that. So I wonder how they're going to explain it. I wonder if it is going to be, if they're going to write her out in finality, or they're going to leave it open like, oh, she's just in Saudi Arabia for a year, you know?
Well, I had heard a rumor that Mr. Big
dies. Right? Yeah. But the other thing too, is that, and why I believe that. So they even kind of have shown them film multiple scenes since that rumor came out, but I think we're going to see a lot of their relationship in flashback. So you're going to see a lot of them have like these kind of romantic scenes, but it'll be her like kind of thinking about the time 2 years ago when they had this conversation. So I believe he does. And this is just guessing, but I've watched enough TV. Like, I believe he dies in the first episode, and then the whole season she'll probably have these kind of, you know, either flashbacks to actual things that they did and talked about, or like, it'll be like Ghost Big, you know?
I love that. That's actually awesome. And I'll tell you why I like it. Because it is a subject matter that women older address, deal with. And the show was great for so many years because it took us on like this rite of passage of these women during different aspects of their life. Like, you know, being single, trying to get married, trying to have kids, trying to pretend like to be an adult, or, you know, have a job, you know, like all of these like rites of passage. And I think that's like an older woman rite of passage that we all like, you know, yes, Ryan, you will die first kind of thing.
Why did you have to use me as an example? That's horrible.
Sorry. I guess I was just pretending like we were married for a minute, but you know what I mean? Like, the women tend to outlive the men, I guess. So I'm just thinking like, maybe that rite of passage, like, would be fun, like, enjoyable to watch someone go through, so I could see how they depict it or what it might be like.
And I do like the thought of, like, watching women age gracefully. I think I like watch, you know, like, I do think that there is a place for this, especially because, you know, if you go back and watch Sex and the City, and granted, I am not a female, so I, of course, have a skewed version of it. But I've watched a couple episodes going back, and, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this was so of its time and it was so groundbreaking. But sometimes it doesn't hold up necessarily as much as I remember loving it the first time through, that I almost kind of would be curious what happens with these characters now and how they are treated and how New York treats a certain aged woman, and they can still be sexy. And I really think it's big shoes to fill, but I'm kind of excited. And that preview did get me excited.
I love that. I think that's a great point. I'm really excited too, because I am an old woman like them. And so I can't wait to, like, watch other people go through. You know, I have all the time on my DMs, I'm talking to friends and fans and stuff on the DMs, and we're a similar age, you know?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about, like, what it's like to suddenly need glasses. You know, you can't see anything.
And, oh, it's the worst. I mean, I'm like, what the hell is it? I was telling my mom, I go, Mom, you know about this thing where now I can't read? Like, I have to, like, put on my glasses to read my phone, and then I have to take them off to watch the TV, and then put, I'm like, and she's like, yeah, that's called getting older, jackass, you know?
No, it's so true. Like, there's a whole bunch of problems that, like, you know, young people don't realize happen as you get in, and not, like, super old. I'm talking about, like, as you get into your 50s, and they're, like, horrific. Like, and no one talks about it because it's taboo. So I kind of hope on this show, like, you know, some of those issues will come up, you know?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, me too. I know, we're really aging ourselves. Wow.
Well, just to be clear, I'm not in my 50s yet. Just, I want everybody to know that. But eventually,
yeah, you're not. You're way younger.
Spry.
How old are you?
You never ask a podcaster their age. Come on.
Well, give me a range, a ballpark.
I could be anywhere from 32 to 42. I don't know. There's a range.
See, you're super young.
But guys, it's not 32 to 35.
I think it's always.
I'll tell you that much right now. It's definitely 35 to 42.
Yeah, well, I love that Google has my age wrong. And so I almost never publicly say my age because they have me younger.
You're famous enough to actually have people Google, like, and it'll have that information. Thank God I'm not there yet.
Oh my gosh, Ryan, you're so
funny.
Oh my God.
Okay, let me tell you, this is great. If you do Google me though, somebody sent me this in the Urban Dictionary. Somebody sent, if you looked up Ryan Bailey, this was years ago, the Urban Dictionary definition of Ryan Bailey was eating ass on camera. And I was like, what? I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I was like, which one of my friends did this? I was like, that's not true. Like, and it turns out there's a gay porn star named Ryan Bailey that his thing is eating ass on camera. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. But I'd never knew that. And then it's like that Ryan Bailey exists. And then there's, like, a really famous soccer player, Ryan Bailey exists. So if you hear about either of those Ryan Baileys, they're not me. And I'm just trying to make my own way in, like, the Ryan Baileys of the world, you know?
No, I'm going to totally say you're the guy who eats ass.
No, I mean, definitely not on camera. That's all. Yes,
we don't,
yes, yes.
We don't know. There's a lot of girls on here listening, Ryan, and they are cool.
There's a special Patreon level. If you pay enough, you will get access to
Ryan Bailey eating ass on camera. Oh,
what if I do try to take it away from the actual Ryan Bailey? And I'm like, I'm going to out ass eat this guy.
I want you to know that my Patreon members just went up, like, by 1,000. Okay. The one thing I'm going to tell you about Ryan is God. The chicks love Ryan. Every show I tell you this, it's like, you are like a babe magnet.
And that's funny. I'm a babe magnet and I'm not a babe myself. So that is amazing. Like,
the girls think you're hot. Why?
Well, they're blind. They're blind. And I appreciate anybody that likes me. I really do that. And I have to deflect because I'm not used to that kind of attention. And I get
nervous. You know, what's funny is I've seen you, like, when we did our live, like, Ron. Okay. So Ryan chooses the worst light on purpose.
Oh my God.
Like, he's like in the dark in a corner.
By the way, I still am embarrassed by the, I didn't realize how bad the lighting was until I got on there, and I had to, like, I was pounding, like, Trulies because I was so embarrassed. And in fact, yeah, it was just very.
I'm saying it from a different reason. Okay. So you're in, like, the dark with the worst lighting known to man. you like obviously thought we were going to get like no views instead of like the 20,000 plus views we got. Okay. And you literally had like, you were like in your sweats, your hat or whatever. The girls were still like, oh my God, Ryan is so hot. The comments were like, Ryan's hot. Ryan's hot. Ryan's hot. I'm like, I can't keep putting this up.
You know, like I pay for Russian bots to do that, right?
No, I swear to God. And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, you are super hot. I mean, well, obviously. But, you know,
maybe that's why I emailed earlier. I was like, is this video or audio? And I've been moving. I've been moving all day. So I was like, man, this is going to even look worse than the first time, potentially, you know?
Oh my gosh. But anyway, I'm telling you right now, like if you were on like a visual show, you'd probably have like 10 million times more.
Well,
followers.
Dana, I mean, that's what we got to work something out. That is my 2022 dream, is to start getting confident enough to try to do more lives and more in-person things, you know? Okay, so since we are sharing this audio potentially, and yeah. You can tell me to buzz off, and like you can tell people to go right to the Patreon.
No, what is it?
So, I mean, I just have to ask.
You want to ask about the thing that happened with Teddy?
Well, a little bit, because I did cover this on the podcast this week, and I played the full audio of the new Extra Hollywood special correspondent Teddy Mellencamp, where she brought up your name. Like, she literally went out of her way to say, the Dana Wilkies of the world. And it was like, by the way, Teddy Mellencamp, unfortunately, one of the worst people for that job, just in terms of vocal performance. That's my own personal opinion. I don't think she has any kind of charisma. You can cut around her, but like, it was just not, but she brought your name up. And of course, that's coming on the heels of PK bringing you up. How do you feel about all this stuff? Do you get hurt by it? Do you get, you know, emotionally, you know, where are you when stuff like that happens?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of been in this game a long time. You know what I'm saying? It's been a lot of years I've been around this kind of hubbub.
Yeah.
And the reality for me is I know the facts and my fans know the facts. And you can try to get a really loud statement out on your giant platform and make people not look into the facts. But I'm really lucky in that the people that, you know, follow me and listen to my show and all this stuff, who are the people I care about, mm-hmm. right? They are people like me. They seek information and they want to know like the truth about something. Yeah. So I actually didn't mind it because I you know, immediately, of course I addressed it, which was the responsible thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I called out a few facts, which I'm sure you're aware of, but I'll say them again. And that was number one, I posted something from the California Secretary of State website. When I posted on my feed, I posted it as a blind. And I said, do you know why I'm posting this? I didn't even attach it necessarily to PK or Doreed, although I was about to. Like a few posts later, it was a document that did not have her home address on it. It had a street and LLC. So it would be like Melrose LLC or Wilshire LLC. Her street is big. It isn't small. And that's what it had. In addition, it had an office address. That was it. It was nothing more. There was no way, shape or form a personal address on this document. And it was public record, and Dorit and PK, they themselves published that document. PK took that document and reposted it on his feed. Yeah. His feed has over 100,000 people. I have a measly 18,500. He is 150,000 people. He reposted it and he called me a see you next Tuesday of the week. And he went into this whole thing. And in fact, in his own statement to put me down, said it was a public document. There was nothing wrong with it. He didn't know why I was posting it. He's not, you know, the implication was that he had done something sketchy and it wasn't true. And that's what he wrote. Okay. Yeah. Then this incident occurs. Okay. And he deletes it overnight. In the morning, I am like, you know, uh-oh, that sounds terrible. What happened to Dorit? I don't even associate it in the way that this is going down. Teddy goes on my feed and immediately out of nowhere says, this is the reason Dorit got robbed under my feed. That's how it started. And I believe she also leaked it to Page Six, although she denies that allegation I made. And I went under that immediately, said, no, it isn't. There is no personal address. This is public record. And it's like nonsense. She then DMs me and asks me to remove it privately after she did this whole public, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Wow.
So she DMs me privately. I then say, Teddy, I will remove it only because she first says, you know, it's the right thing to do and all this crap, doing her usual hypocritical, inspirational nonsense. And I said to her, listen, there's nothing wrong with this document. It's public record. In fact, Instagram took it down because both I had both post PKs and mine on my feed because I like embraced it and was like, I think I responded to PK originally, like, you know, I embrace being your see you next Tuesday of the week. And I said something like, you're very cheeky. And I said, I love talking about you too. Meaning, why are you talking about me? You're supposed to be some big reality star and I'm supposed to be some idiot. So why are you even bothering?
I know.
Anywho, but then we get down to the DMs. She DMs me. And so she goes through this BS and I say to her, you know, I don't have any reason to take these posts down. But then she said, I'm just asking. And I said, well, since you're asking, and since nobody else has, because to date, I have not been asked by anyone to take it down. And in fact, Instagram took it down, reviewed it, and put them both back up. I will do this out of respect, out of your request, because you were nice and you politely requested it. And I know you're close with them.
You should have said you do it out of respect for John Mellencamp.
Right. Don't hit your head on your shadow of your father. Yeah, so basically what happened was I then did it. And then, you know, she wrote me a message and said, just so you know, I didn't do the security on Dorit's house.
Oh, yeah, your husband did. I'm joking.
No, but so that was really interesting. She was already deflecting, right?
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah, because the fans, you know, they come up with their own versions of events and their multiple theories and conspiracy theories. I won't comment that on that in the podcast, but it certainly is in my Patreon. But the truth of the matter is that what she alleged was not proper or correct. And Page Six did not run my side of the story till the next day, which I thought wasn't very cool.
Yeah. Like,
whatever. They did it the next day. And then out of the blue, I'm letting it go. Okay. I dealt with the allegations much like I'm doing on this show, on my show. Episode 50 of Dishing Drama, Dana, I go through the whole, the more detail than this,
yeah.
But, and then I do, I also did a video about it in my Patreon so people could see how I felt about it. My feeling was, I was very, sad that Dorit had to go through such a violent crime and go through that terrible situation or experience. No one should have to do that. However, the takeaway for me was, she was robbed just 3 years ago in the exact same way. And it was from someone that attended an open house for her property because her previous house in Beverly Hills was for sale. This house was put on the sale almost immediately after they moved in. Obviously, they're doing some sort of house flipping side business or something. And it was listed with full address in realtor.com and pictures that perfectly mirrored the property on the show as it's seen in detail week to week on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It was also featured on Million Dollar Listing. So I hardly believe, you know, that was where, you know, the address came from, was an ambiguous post from my feed of like 10 people.
Yeah. Oh, definitely
what,
not.
You know, what I believe is that, you know, somebody was stalking people on that street and robbing people on that street, or there was someone who maybe attended one of their open houses and also was starting to watch the feed or the show. You know, it was all about how rich that last, the night that she got robbed.
Yeah. Andy, they talked about all of Dorit's riches in fashion.
That's right. So, you know, I think all of these things agitated the situation into a perfect storm. But anyway, so I was really shocked to hear a few days later that she decided to go on Extra and very awkwardly you know, insert me into the thing, which obviously PK and Dory are, you know, supporting. So, you know, essentially it's like, let's just hope fans don't know the facts and let's just keep telling the storyline and damage it. And what I said on my show, which I'll say here, was, you know, Teddy Mellencamp made a bad strategic move because if she thinks that's going to get her back on the show by making me the villain, it's never happening because Andy Cohen didn't want me on the show when I was on the show. And he certainly doesn't want to give me the platform now.
Well, I just think it's funny when, you know, she's accusing you of doing things for like clout when that's exactly what she's doing. She's using your name to try to throw you under the bus to raise her up and to like kind of put herself more in there because she so desperately wants to be on the show or jobs or things like this. And I just find it, what a weird way to do this, you know?
No, I was like,
to get back in everybody's like good graces.
I thought it was just so weird.
It really was. I love your attitude of like, you know, I know who my listeners are, my viewers are, and I do this for them. And I love that attitude because I get really personally hurt when things, and I'm like, wait, I have a reason for saying the things that I say. I believe in what I say. And I know you do too, but I personally, you know, just when I'm like, hey, you can't say that about Dana. Like I got personally offended for you, you know?
I love that. And by the way, so did, you know, the fans. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, I was shocked to see that my following went up because
of it. That's the other thing is that, you know, it's like when you do that, you just, you know, if they think they're doing something, all they're doing is shedding light on something that like people, half of those people are going to end up probably liking you and following you anyways, you know?
It was an incorrect, unearned allegation. And the fans, whether they follow me or they don't, know that enough because I've been around a long enough time now that they've gotten to know me. So when Teddy came for me and did it in such a ridiculous way, and then on top of it, you know, went on Extra and like added unnecessary fuel to the flame after I wasn't even talking about it anymore, you know,
yeah.
It just came off as get this girl a glass of water. Did that help you with your fans knowing
it
what did. Happened?
And by the way, thank you so much for answering that for us. I really do appreciate it because I know all of this amazing dirt is on your Patreon. So thank you for giving us a little taste of it because that really was the question I had when I covered it this week. So thank you for answering it.
Well, thank you for sticking up for me. I really appreciate it because you've gotten to know me a little bit now. So
that's what I'm saying. Every interaction I've had with you has always been above board, amazing, funny, and you take everything with a grain of salt and a lot of humor. And that's exactly what I do too. So
I know. And I'm one of your biggest fans. So if anyone comes for you, they better watch their ass.
Oh my
okay?
God, I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready. I'm going to die. Like I'm going to freak when somebody comes for me for the first time, I'm going to freak out.
You need to just hit them up, like send them my way and we'll come in like the brigade.
I'm scared. PK is going to make me hiss you and T at some point and I'm going to just like cry, you know?
Yeah. Well, he did four more people this week. So
I know he's really going through it.
Yeah, he's going through like a list or something. But, you know, like I said, our fans are smart. Our fans, you know, your fans are smart. My fans are smart and they don't listen to nonsense. And if someone says something wrong, they'll straighten it out, including us. Right. So, you know, we get our DM once in a while.
And if not, we go to war. It's going down in Beverly Hills this season.
That's right, baby. What do you think about the fact that it came out that Carter Riem has a 9-year-old love child from a previous relationship with Laura Belizzi from the VH1 show Secrets of Aspen?
Well, I mean, I knew something was off about that guy. Like, and supposedly he only has like met the offspring once. Which is, I mean, I don't, but how did that come out? Like right after the wedding, like who was that the ex that planted that story? Like, how did it come out right on Monday?
Well, I think Page Six had the story and they held it.
Oh, you thought that was out of respect. See, I thought it was even worse reading on Monday after this fairy tale. Cause it's just like, wow, fairy tales don't exist, you know?
Well, and after we talked about, you know, how I was so excited about that. Well, actually, remember I said it was like depressing that this was so perfect.
Yeah.
And now I feel great.
Not so perfect anymore. Yeah. I mean, I kind of just want to know the Paris of it all. Like, obviously, was she already aware? Are they going to try to see the daughter more? If he's only seen her one time, that's wild.
Yeah. Well, so it was announced that a source has said that Paris Hilton was aware of the love child, but that to me says like damage control. You know, the source said that she didn't think the friends knew. So like, in other words, none of Paris Hilton's friends knew, but Paris knew about the love child, but it came from a source, not Paris. The fact that Paris didn't make a statement to me says she was a little blindsided. That's my truth. That's what I think.
I mean, I just think that would be so, if she didn't know, I mean, that to me would be such a red flag. It's a red flag if you've only seen your offspring once in how many years. That already is a red flag. I'm sure he has reasons, but the whole thing just seems so, like, all of a sudden, like, I was watching that Paris love show or whatever, and he seemed off, and I hate to say this, but like, that is completely a red flag to me.
It is a red flag because, you know, how sad was it that the daughter reached out to her mom and said, would you reach out to the press and let them know that I want to see my dad and that I've been watching all this Paris Hilton crap on TV and the marriage and all these beautiful pictures. And I wish I was in the pink dress. I'm paraphrasing and obviously making it more dramatic because that's better. But, you know, I wanted to be in the wedding with Paris Hilton in the pink dress. I want to be a part of my dad's life. Because that was said. Okay. That was said that the daughter.
Really?
It said that the daughter reached out to the mom and that, you know, she had been watching all of this propaganda around Paris Hilton's new show with her dad and then the wedding. And she was like, why am I not at the carnival? Why doesn't my dad want me in his life? And that's where this spawned into a Page Six article.
Well, that's the reality show I want to see. I want to see Paris trying to be a mom to this, you know, like, don't you want to see Paris like meet the daughter for the first time?
Well, what I do know is I don't believe Paris was aware of this. And I'll tell you why, because it made no business sense to not incorporate it into the reality show. So if I watch all the seasons of, you know, Paris in Love, right?
Yeah.
And I don't see a mention of this problem. Okay. Then I know for a fact she didn't know, because you would not do a huge show, even if it's inspirational, and not bring this into your show and control it.
I want to know what Kathy Hilton thinks.
Even if it was as simple as a conversation in one episode where you're like, I want to talk to you. I have this thing. I'm not ready to deal with it yet, but I am. And then Paris goes, okay, I got it. No problem. And tables it. But like, you do not have a reality show and not bring that storyline in somehow, if you know it's there. Because there's no way it's ever going to be kept quiet. She knows that. She's been in this isn't her first rodeo. This is her 100th.
Well, I wonder if there's going to be an addendum to the reality show, because they only air one episode a week, I think, on Peacock.
Oh, I can guarantee they're going to addend it. But we'll know if they do, you know, if it's the central point of a whole episode, we know already that the press wouldn't have come out now, it would have come out when the episode came out. Okay. So if it was truly incorporated in the storyline of the season, Page Six would have reported on it when they knew it was coming out. The fact they reported on it now, I think they held it just out of respect for the family. They probably told them that they were going to do it. And Paris said, could you at least wait till my wedding? And they were nice enough to do that. Wow. But if it doesn't sync with next week's episode, then I already know that she didn't really know. And that's what I've been saying the whole time. Now, a lot of people disagree with me. It's an unpopular opinion. They're like, oh no, she must have known. Da, da, da. She, to me, is not behaving like somebody from Beverly Hills that I know that would have known, like the way she's acting. No way. Just saying.
Oh, gosh. I mean, to me, this is just another great pop culture twist, is that I just, on the heels of a 3-day Coachella style wedding, this comes out, it just, I mean, it just all of a sudden to me just makes, just crashes back into reality, you know?
Well, and to me, I think it's so like, if they truly believe in the vows that I overheard them say on 100 media outlets, then I expect that Paris Hilton is in it to win it. She will not leave his ass, even if she didn't know, and she will embrace this child and, you know, for, and do the right thing, which is, I think, in my opinion, to get Carter Riem to recognize that, you know, it doesn't have to be with the mom, Laura Belize, whatever that, you know, who cares, right?
Yeah.
It has to do with the child and having her feel a part of a family. And if you want to have kids, the first thing you learn is unconditional love. And there's no better way to learn it than by taking in a child who desperately wants to be a part of your family and letting them in, if that's truly the agenda.
Oh man, that's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I want more information now. I want Paris to make a comment.
Yeah, I know, it's really weird. And she did this like really, honestly, it was, I know what she was doing. She like did this Instagram post that she was like honeymoon life or something, like, you know, total social media wording kind of thing about my honeymoon. And obviously she was trying to say like, I want to focus on having a good time. I deserve this.
Yeah.
But she's been with Kathy Hilton this week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, let's cut the shit. There's no honeymoon life there.
Oh, so good. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing, is that this is a great piece of information, but I want to see how it affects Paris, Kathy, Rick. I want to see all of them acknowledge it.
Yeah. And all, and this perfect guy, Carter Riem, who we watched in episode one.
I didn't trust that guy from the start. I knew that guy was a bad guy.
I told you he met Paris with Joe Francis. Like, hello.
Oh my God. I was just watching old episodes of Real Housewives of Miami this week, and Joe Francis pops up on those. And it's just like, man, it's like, if Carter grew up in the Hollywood scene, as he claims to have known Paris for all of these years, you know, that's a little dark right there. I should, you know, he's not as lily white as he presents.
Yeah. And everyone's saying, well, they would have background checked him. I'm like, no, honey, he would have background checked her.
Yeah.
Like, Riem's money is way bigger than the Hilton family. Sorry. Like, Hilton name. Yeah. Awesome. I get it. Like, way more promotionally, you know, great. But in reality, his family was bigger. It was better. It really was. Like, his dad was the largest privately held company. Like, that's in Forbes. I mean, you know, it's like,
I mean, you also kind of got to wonder, is this the only,
invested in Lyft,
but is this the only child he has?
No, I'm sure there's 10 more. No, I'm just
saying, like, it'd just be amazing if they just keep popping up at this point.
That's awesome that you said that. Wow. I'm going to really think about that for a while.
You know what? And just in case that goes bad, Dana said that. I didn't say that. Dana said that. I am just listening to Dana, and we're just going to go
with that. Listen, I'm willing to take in Carter Riem's kids. Okay. We don't have a lot, but we share. Okay. So let's see what else is going on. Oh, what did you think about the fact that obviously I've been keeping it secret, and
we got a big star on the podcast today, a big TV star. You are now a series regular on ABC News. You're in their Housewife and the Series, and we just got a preview today of the Housewives and the Shaw Shocker. Is that it?
I don't know. The name definitely wasn't as good as The Housewife and The Hustler.
No, but I feel like they could have done such a better thing with the name.
Do you want to know? Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
So when I was doing the show, they asked me, what would you name this show? I should have said the Charest, but I didn't.
Well, but why not? I mean, I thought it was going to be The Housewife and The Shaw Squad.
Oh, that would have been so good. I actually, I said the Shaw Shit Show. But I said, you can swear on Hulu, right? But yeah, they didn't have to say shit. They could have done like, you know, a funny, you know, like a street art shit instead of the actual word shit. So, I mean, I thought the Shaw Shit Show was the best.
Well, how long ago, are you allowed to say how long ago you recorded your interview?
Yes. Yeah, I am. I recorded this in September.
Okay. Now I'm trying to remember, we're in November right now. So, yeah. Wow. Okay. So is there a lot of information that has come out since you recorded that day that you wish?
They've been working on this nonstop. Like ABC is no joke. They research, like 10 minutes before the edits due, they're still doing interviews to get people's perceptions and evidence. And yeah, no, they are so pro. I can't get over it.
Well, and The Housewife and The Hustler was so great because they released it at, you know, just the right moment in the beginning of Beverly Hills this season. And I think it really hurt Erica's narrative, or the narrative she was trying to portray. And it really gave a face to the victims that we hadn't seen before. And in this trailer, we actually get to see one of Jen's victims speak. And I think that's really the damning part of these shows, is it gives a face and a context for what Jen Shah allegedly did. And that's the part that is just eerie, because all of the rest of the stuff we have our own opinions about, no, but to really, for them to really paint that picture, I think that's going to be, you know, so damning for Jen Shah in terms of the public.
I think ABC knows the importance of telling the victim's story, and they also know the importance of trying to bring in a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
And I keep saying this, which is, you know, you don't need to know someone to study a topic and be an expert at it, right? It really doesn't. You just have to be passionate about a topic.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the, again, I'm sure I'll be criticized for the fact that I don't personally know Jen Shah, for being involved with this particular special. But I want to say something. Again, I was actually reached out to not because of my connection to Housewives. That might shock you. Does it shock you, Ryan?
I'm sitting here shocked. No, it doesn't shock me, no.
Right. The reason was that I had done a deep dive on Jen Shah before anybody did. I did an episode on my podcast, Dishing Drama Dana, called The Shady Ladies of Salt Lake City. And I did a deep dive on all the women. And one of the things in the process of doing that was that I found out that there was a connection to Jen Shah and Prosper Inc. that was on her LinkedIn profile, which she also DM'd me about, which I'm sure will be shared on the show in some way or another.
Jen Shah DM'd you.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
And so what happened was, I had called out that Prosper Inc. had been involved with Trump U and had been investigated, you know, and Jen Shah had put on her LinkedIn that she was director of business development for Prosper Inc. I'm saying the name not totally correct. It was Prosper, but it is the Prosper, yeah. Right?
Okay.
And so Jen had texted me or DM'd me that, you know, she left in 2011, but they started the investigation in 2011 on Prosper. So it wasn't like that was that comforting, but I had grabbed all of this evidence, not intentionally to hurt Jen, because that wasn't my intention, but to do my own deep dive like I do. Mm-hmm. And Prosper sold people Trump University under a very similar way, right?
Yeah.
As to some of the allegations that are being made now. So, yeah. So one of the things that I speculated on Dishing Drama Dana was that potentially Jen might be seasoned or might have been seasoned by individuals that were creating situations where they were preying on people in that instance that wanted to create, you know, a lot of money overnight by, you know, learning a technique that they would pay $1,500 for a week, you know, for a day, and, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 for a week seminar where they would learn how to reinvent themselves as real estate magnates. And when they didn't get what they wanted and the business never emerged, then they couldn't get their money back.
Gotcha.
Right.
Wow.
So it just so happens that once again, unfortunately for, I guess, me, because people have probably criticized me for it, I found some information, like I did early on with Erica and now with Jen, that made me a reasonable person to have on the show.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, I didn't question it at all. I mean, like, I was like, I mean, it, you know, you, I think were used to great effect in the first one. So I just thought you'll probably be on every one of these regardless if you had information or not. But the fact that you did have all of this good information is kind of going to be interesting to be able to hear that perspective.
Well, I don't ever want to be on one that I don't have information, because that's not my intention. My intention, although fun, you know, it's like great fun to be on a show, is to share, like always, a perspective or make people think or validate something and say what, you know, like the truth, to try to make you ponder it. Not from a judgmental standpoint, by the way, because I'm no one to judge anyone, but just to make people think. So I can promise you that I will never be on a show where I'm not, you know, I don't really enjoy the topic and learn it. That's why I struggle when I hear people criticize, you know, going on Hulu and being like, I think recently Carol Radziwell, I talked about it on a live I did with David Yontif behind the Velvet Rope on my YouTube channel. And what happened was Carol Radziwell said, I don't want to be, you know, I wouldn't have gone on that show. Well, she's a journalist. So that was like kind of weird. And to me, I said, well, I don't understand, because as a journalist, you learn a topic. You're not like, you know, just because you're in Afghanistan doesn't mean you're in the war. You go there, you study it, you see what's happening, you learn, you speak to the people, and then you deliver the story. So, you know, why is this any different? You know, and why wouldn't you want to be a part of one of the top rated shows on Hulu, ABC, if you could be a become an expert in this and the story matter? That's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, I think you're arguing with yourself at this point, because I'm just ready to watch it. Like, I mean, I just want to see it now. Like, I feel like you have some trepidation about, you know, people's reaction possibly to this. And in my head, I'm just like, damn it. Like, I want to be that one. I want to be a talking head one day. I want to be that one. Like, I think that's like the coolest thing you could do. Plus, you actually have good information. So my whole thing is, I just want to see it now. Like, I can't believe I have to wait a week, or like, how, when does it come out?
November 28th, over Thanksgiving, just to get people in that giving mood.
They got to do it on, like, they got to release it on Thanksgiving. I mean, this is the fact that, like, we need something to, like, leave the dinner table to go watch or something, or just gather around as a family around the fireplace. And you know, if I can, you know, and by the way, Erica Jane has got to be ecstatic that this is coming out. Because it's another thing, like, I was going to talk to my family about Erica Jane, and now I can talk to them about Jen Shah, you know?
Yeah. And they're totally different. I don't know if you saw, but Jen Shah, did like a nice put down to me. Well, I know, you know, that, just to give you some background on that. So, we have a guest on our show quite a bit, who's hilarious. Her name is Sammy, Princess Sammy, and she is, or Princess Samira.
Samira, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, so Princess Sammy is, we've had many discussions about how she's close friends with Jen Shah. Okay, probably because they share the last name, but whatever. Anyway, so Sammy is like, you know, I love Sammy, but she loves to start shit, you know, she's like that. And I mean, she would be an amazing reality TV star. I keep telling her to go on TV. But so she on purpose, of course, immediately posted when they did the teaser, I guess, for the show. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then I guess Jen Shah saw it, because they're good friends, right? And she's all about free Jen Shah, whatever. And I guess some other people saw it that are Jen Shah fans, because Sammy has a following of Jen Shah fans. And so anyway, I guess one of them wrote this. Ready? Mm-hmm. At the real Jen Shah, girl, what is it with Hulu making all those dumbass documentaries with no proof of anything and the most untrustworthy jackasses they could find? Dana Wilkes, by the way, spelling my name wrong, W-I-L-K-I-E-S.
Oh, that's a burn. Yeah. That's a burn.
Well, no, I just think he can't spell, but still, again, And then he says, does she even know you? Like I'm supposed to be on the show if I know her. First of all, let me just answer this. You don't go on a show about someone being indicted if you know them. You pretty much back out of the show at that point and go, you know, I love my friend. I'm not going on the show. Okay.
Yeah.
So the reality is no one that knows Jen will be on this show, except maybe the victims. On the other point, he says, and then she wrote, I don't know her, which is the exact statement that Erica Jane Girardi made. And then she posted it on her social media. By the way, I got zero hate for that, even though she's got like, you know, 200,000 followers and I've got 10, but still no hate. So I guess my thing I want to ask you is, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, what do I think about somebody saying something shitty about you on Twitter?
No, no, about Jen Shah reposting it and saying, I don't know, listen,
Jen Shah, it's
but
like
that all, too.
Well, I mean, listen, somebody told me to kill myself today on Instagram. So, you know, like I don't, it's a very weird, scary world that we live in, and social media kind of exacerbates all of the actual problems in the world. And sometimes it can be used to great effect, but I think with Jen Shah doing that, it's just that kind of distraction of like, try to throw as much as you can against the wall and see what sticks. You know, she's lashing out at every different thing. Any support she gets, she's going to repost it. You know, the lady is living in some kind of fairy tale land, or she's keenly aware of how bad this is. And, you know, I think Erica Jane did a lot of that distraction as well. And it really worked in a lot of ways. But the thing that we always forget, though, and I think I mentioned this maybe in the first part of this conversation, was that, you know, Jen is only a one season housewife. You know, she does not, like, I don't like Erica Jane, but she's been in so many seasons that people feel like they know her a lot more than Jen Shah. So for Jen Shah to be leaning on a fan base that only like has seen her for one season, it's going to really not work as well as it ever did for Erica Jane for many reasons. You know, we can cut and run as fans pretty quickly if we don't think we know you that well. And for one season, it's just, to me, it's not enough. It's like, once I hear you defraud elderly, I'm like, oh shit, that happened to my grandma once. Okay, goodbye.
You know? Did you hear what happened today? I can't wait to tell you. Okay, so by the time this episode airs, we'll probably know. But Stuart Smith has said that he may be changing his plea.
Yeah, I did. He's going to flip, supposedly. I thought we were going to find that out today, but I guess we didn't.
No, so what that means is he's in discussions with the government, and they're very close to coming with a settlement on what he did wrong. In return for him saying what he did wrong, and they've agreed it. So you can't lie. So the idea with the, just so you guys know, the idea here is that they talked to him and they probably interviewed him, and he would have said, here's the truth. They would have said, here's what we think you did. And it would have been, you know, way worse probably than what he did, but they would have said it. And then he would have said, well, this is what really happened. And he would have made his best argument to, you know, his truth. And then they go away and they digest it and they say, all right, taking in consideration a jury trial and the way you gave your testimony and what you said and the evidence provided, we agree with this. And this is our, like, meet you in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He then decides if that meet you in the middle is the truth. And if it is the truth, he agrees to it. And then he changes his plea to not guilty to this new truth. And that is what is the settlement agreement or the plea deal. But as part of the plea deal, he has to do what the government asks in regards to the other defendants in the case. And he has to agree to testify as needed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yikes.
Which means, and there is no backing out of that testifying. If he backs out of the testifying, that plea deal is dead. And it's back on the table, everything bad again.
I wonder if, you know, like they've probably been ordered where they can't speak to each other, right? Jen and Stuart?
Absolutely.
But like part of the complaint actually said that they'd kept doing their business and they were using all of these encrypted apps to do it. And so I wonder, I mean, I, you know, there's got to have been back channel conversations since all of this went down, because Jen doesn't seem like the brightest bulb, you know, like I feel like she's probably found a way to reach out to him or threaten him or something, you know?
I mean, it's speculation. Sure. Mm. You're on your own ABC special now, Ryan.
Yeah. Like, hey guys, if anybody's listening from ABC News, get Dana out. Ryan's in now. I have no personal information.
Oh my God. They'd have so many followers. You'll be on the next one. Listen, Ronald Richards was on this one.
Oh no.
Yeah. Ronald's in this one. He was supposed to be in the housewife in the hustle. I don't know what happened. Maybe a conflict too close because he was involved in the case. But,
well, hey, no longer is involved in the case. So I guess, yeah, he can, yeah, I mean, that's wild. But see, that's what I don't like, though, too, with that is that, you know, with Ronald, he has such an interesting relationship with the fan base that, you know, you don't want to do anything to distract from the actual shit show, which is Jen Shah. You know, like, you know, you got to have all guns pointed at, I mean, like spotlights pointed at Jen Shah. You know, like this is about what she did. And, you know, Jen Shah, you watch, she's going to try to, like, you know, cloud the narrative and say, well, Ronald Richards did this to Erica and he's just, he wants, you can already hear it. He wants fame, all of this stuff. And I think that is just so stupid of these people to do, you know?
Okay. So first of all, Ronald Richards is just doing interpretation on this special, which, because he reported on it on his Instagram and his Twitter. So like, it makes sense that he's on the show as like a commentator. Yeah, yeah. He's as good as anyone on The View or, you know, blah, blah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's his role. As far as, you know, Ronald Richards wanting fame, Ronald has fame and he's been famous. Yeah. It just, you know, what's funny is that I've known about Ronald Richards for years. Okay. And when he first came on my show back in December, and I did say December of 2020, he had like a few thousand followers. Now the guy's up to like 30,000. Okay. So like, you know, he's a phenomenon. I don't know. I mean, but you can't, you know, let him be who he is. You know, it's
no,
like,
I had him on the show. I thought I really enjoyed talking to Ronald Richards. I'm just saying, the fan base is, I just don't want, you already see what's going to happen. Just like Erica Jane did.
You don't want
Ronald
it to be
Richards.
Convoluted by.
Yeah. You're
by
like,
that.
This isn't about Ronald Richards. This is about Jen Shah. And it's just one of those typical PR things that these people that are guilty do is try to cloud the narrative and blame everybody else but themselves. I mean, we do live in a society where nobody actually accepts blame for anything anymore. So, I mean, Jen's going to have her day in court, but it's going to take millions of dollars of taxpayer money to actually show that she's been lying from the get-go, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And I will say that I did a YouTube about the Ronald Richards, Jay Edelson fight, Ryan. So if you haven't seen that, you probably want to.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, oh, it's yeah. So good. Yeah, it's so good. Okay. So I want to say that something else came out that I just want to call about. You know about the alleged stolen crocodile green purse from Meredith's
store? Yes, the snakeskin clutch. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Snakeskin. Excuse me.
Come on.
I know. Jeez. Is that even legal in Salt Lake? I know in Vegas it's legal, but is it legal there?
Not on Sundays. No.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, Mirlo Bueno.
Bless
and
you.
Is that his real name? Mirlo Bueno. Anyway, he put out a statement. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but here's what he wrote. I didn't want to let it get to this, but here we are. I'd like to address a false accusation made last night by one of the cast members of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, aka Meredith. The footage she brought up is twisted and chopped. First of all, no one is stealing a bag from somewhere and would hold it in their hand, flaunting it like they tried to make it seem. If you look at what they circled closely, you would see that whatever I'm holding is not green. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a run-on sentence.
That's the real crime.
It really is, because I couldn't read it right. Yeah. So basically, he's saying that he didn't have the green clutch in his hand. That was bullshit. That there was something else in his hand. And instead, it wasn't green what he was holding in his hand, in case you were wondering, Ryan.
Yes.
Okay. The green clutch was inside the bag wrapped in paper. So the salesperson accidentally took the green $1,700 bag, put it in a box and paper, and sent it on its way with Jen Shaw without her paying for it. It's Meredith's fault. When the manager reached out, I was confused because Jen had only looked at white ones. Okay, so Jen didn't even want this damn green bag.
Yeah, no.
Let's just get that straight. Come on. So I looked inside the bag and found the green clutch. I said I could bring it by if she was still there, but said I could just bring it to them the next day, which I did, or like I did. There was no hesitation, just confusion on our part on how that happened. Sorry, too much wine. So what do you think? What do you think, Brian? You believe it or not?
No, you know, I don't believe it. I think, you know, obviously, and this gentleman had, I believe he was allegedly stole money from Beauty Lab and Laser because Heather had hired him as well, which I think is going to come out on the show potentially this week. I think there is obviously, it's very normal for us to think he's a liar because now we're looking at guilt by association. So this guy
wait, you need to stop and tell that story.
Well, I don't know the full story. I just know that Heather had put that out, and he even says in these tweets, I will be talking about that at a later time. And I'm just saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. You're now establishing patterns of behavior. And once you do that, I think all bets are off. Also, you know, also there's a good chance Jen Shaw didn't know he stole it, but he stole it because he wanted it. You know,
do you want to know the story before, you know, it airs? Because I know it.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Okay, so here's what happened. Supposedly, Heather had hired Merlo Bueno. And what happened was she hired him to do, you know, stuff around the salon that like a basic individual could do.
Yeah.
Anyway, after hours, he started using her equipment, allegedly, to give himself facials. Sorry.
Wow.
And other like treatments that you probably shouldn't be doing without a doctor or a nurse present. But anyway, he did. And it got found out, and allegedly Heather fired him. And which any owner of a spa in that setting would do. And because it wasn't allowed. And so he then went to Jen Shaw, who is purportedly Heather Gay's good friend, and asked for her help. And purportedly, I don't know, whatever other, you know, sketchy word you want to use there, she helped him write a legal letter with or without Coach Shaw, I'm not sure, because Coach Shaw, of course, is a lawyer, to say that Heather better pay up. I feel like it was like 30 grand or something, or, you know, he was going to cause problems for her. So he made a demand letter. And rather than have a problem, Heather Gay paid the letter. I mean, paid the amount of money demanded in the letter. Yep.
You're sure about this?
I mean, you know, it's all alleged, but my story is a little bit more solid than yours. Hey, ABC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, by the way, I just hope the next housewife in the hustle, I hope I'm not I hope it's not about me or something like the podcaster and I don't know. I'll think I'll work.
Listen, it wouldn't be any good because I couldn't be on it because I'd be like,
no, I have a feeling you would be a talking head on it. And I'd be like, I shouldn't have podcasted with you because you'll be like,
I would never do that.
He wasn't on time the first time we podcasted.
No, Brian, if you've got an intimate relation with like an intimate relationship with someone, you can't go on these shows because it's like, you know, first of all, that is a situation where you have to be worried legally, number one, but number two, you would never do that to someone you care about. You know, like I'm telling the story from an outsider's perspective, who was just studying what happened. You know, I have no judgment against Jen Shaw. I don't give a shit. I just am like interested by it like everybody else. And I just so happened to come across some really, you know, interesting evidence.
Are you nervous for it to air?
I mean, I'm nervous for, I'm sure I might have to face the Shawshank Redemption.
But thank you so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
And Ryan, thank you, sweetheart, for doing this. And Casey, thanks for...
Casey, thank you for doing this.
Yes, thank you both for also doing this. Thank you.
And
thank
Ryan,
you. And thank and you, Ryan, listeners, for doing this with
yeah.
us.
Thank you for listeners, yeah.
This with you doing this,
And Ryan promises to stop eating ass.
hey, don't speak for
don't
me.
Don't put you words don't in speak. His mouth.
Hey, you don't...
don't put ass in his mouth.
Do not put the word... Oh, there's only one thing that goes in my mouth, and it's not those words.
Yeah. I love you. I'm never going to forget
All
that.
All right, see you guys.
$25 sunglasses. It's not like we can't afford it.